You know, whenever you read any portion of scripture, the most important question you need to ask is, why does the scripture say so? You always pause at every verse, at every juncture, at every passage, and you ask, why does the scripture say so? There is a reason why that verse was written or recorded in history in that way. So when you read the Gospel of Luke chapter 14 and verse 25, the verse that you read there is, large crowds of people were following Jesus, and turning to them, he said. So when I read that verse, I pause and I ask that important question, why did Jesus pause? Why did he look at the crowd? And why did he say the following? Why did he pause? Why did he look at the crowd? And why did he say the following? If you were to notice, if you would have heard carefully, verse 26 onwards, at the end of each verse that Jesus talks to the crowd, he says, if you don't do this, you cannot be my disciple. So you keep that word in your mind, and then you look at the first verse that we read. He said, large crowds of people, and then he says, my disciple. Large crowds of people, and then he says, my disciple. Oh, that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing teaching. Because in fact, Jesus was standing to the crowd, and he was talking to the crowd and asking them the most important question that I want to pose in front of you today, and that is, why do you follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you part of the crowd, or would you like to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question that Jesus is asking the crowd. That's the reason why he paused. That's the reason why he looked at them. That's the reason why he asked them the following questions. He looked at the crowd and he's asking the crowd, why do you follow me? Why do you call yourself Christians? Why do you listen to my teaching? Would you like to be part of the crowd, or would you like to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friend, those of you listening to me right now, let me tell you in the beginning, it's very easy for us to become a part of the crowd. It's very difficult to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I was part of the crowd, and if Jesus were to ask the crowd the question, why do you follow me? You'd get a lot of interesting answers. If you were to ask the people, why did you follow Jesus? They'd give you a lot of reasons. Some of them would say, I follow Jesus because I'm here to see a magic show. I've heard that how Jesus raised the dead to life. I've heard how he gave sight to the blind. I've heard how a lame man came to him and he walked again. How a deaf guy could hear. I'm basically following Jesus. I'm part of the crowd. Because I know at the end of the day, I'll see some magic show. And that's the reason why I follow the Lord Jesus. Another group of people would say, I follow Jesus because he's a great storyteller. Man, there is nobody who can tell better stories than the Lord Jesus. I remember one day I walked with him. We came to a field. We saw a farmer putting the seeds into the field. And Jesus paused. And he taught us a great story. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a sower who sows the seeds. That was an amazing story. I want to listen to the stories that the Lord Jesus says. Does not the Bible call him as a good teacher? A good storyteller? Yes. I follow Jesus because I want to hear stories. Some other people that are part of the crowd would say, I know if I follow Jesus, I will hear a good story. And even at the end of the day, even if I'm hungry, all that Jesus needs is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He will bless it. He will expand it. And I will get something to eat. I'm here just because I want to satisfy something that really is my need. You get what I'm saying? You think about all of these reasons, you will understand why it is easy for you and for me to become part of the crowd. And I want to tell you young guys and young girls one thing. It is a true but a sad fact that it is for these same very reasons that you and I go to church today as well. Whether you like to admit it or not, that is the fact. There are many of us youngsters who go to church because we want to see some magic shows. We want to see some great things that happen in churches. We want to go for all the special meetings. We want to see the special talents that happens. We are here just for the fun of it. Just for the show. But I want to remind you that if you are coming to church just for that sake, if you study God's word just for that sake, you are not a disciple. You are part of the crowd. There are some of us who come to church just to hear messages. And not the message, but we want to hear the joke before the message, right? We want to laugh at the joke that the preacher would tell before the message. We want to hold our stomachs. We want to laugh our heads out. We want to hear some good illustrations. I go to Sunday school because of the stories that I hear. But I want to tell you, just because you want to hear the stories, you're part of the crowd. You are not a disciple. Are you coming to church so that you know when you have a problem, you know that your church members will reach out to you, pray for you, visit you, be with you when you are sick, give you some help? Are you here just because you want to satisfy some physical need of yours? I want to tell you something. Jesus turns to you who are part of the crowd and he says, why do you follow me? Do you want to be part of the crowd would you really like to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question that Jesus asked the crowd. That's the question that the Word of God is asking each and every one of you listening to God's Word right now. Probably you fooled yourself into thinking that you are part of the crowd. Probably you've realized right now that you are never a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Jesus does not want crowds following Him. He wants true disciples. That's exactly the reason why the gospel says from all the people that were following, He chose 12 to take the gospel. 12 to take the word of the Lord. The scripture says that these 12 turned the entire world upside down. He is not looking for people to follow. He's looking for people who are willing to be disciples. You look at the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, 20. He says, therefore go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. He never says, go and find people who are willing to follow me. Because there will be people who follow the Lord Jesus. He says, go and make disciples, and only a disciple can make another disciple. And I'm asking you that same question again, my dear friend. Please do not fool yourself as we finish this ABC to thinking that being part of the crowd is more than enough. No. Would you like to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Being part of the crowd is very easy. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus is very difficult. Turning to the crowd, Jesus said, why do you follow me? You read verse 26 onwards, Jesus gives four criteria as to how you can be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Four important criteria that everybody needs to fulfill in order to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. You can open your books and you can write this down, because I want you to remember what we speak from God's word. Four important criteria in order to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, verse 26. You look at what the Lord Jesus says in His Bible, in His word. If anyone comes to me and he does not hate his father, his mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Criteria number one in order to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus is that Jesus needs to get my complete attention. The Bible or that verse never says that you should go home and hate your father, hate your mother, hate your brother, hate your sister, hate your wife. No, He says in comparison to the love that you have for God, the love for anything else needs to become second place. God needs to get your complete love. God needs to get your complete attention. You look at the end of verse 26, the Holy Spirit says, unless you cannot love God the most, you cannot, it says, be my disciple. You know, just to get a better idea of what verse actually says, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10. You look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse, no, it's okay. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Look what it says, Matthew 10 verse 37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me, is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10 verse 37. And that's exactly what Jesus says. Jesus says, you need to love me the most. If you love anyone more than me, you cannot be worthy to be called my disciple. And my dear friends, I want to remind you this evening, in order to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, He needs to get your first attention. That means from the time you wake up in the morning to the time that you go to sleep, your first and your last thought needs to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why the Lord Jesus says you need to love me the most, more than anybody else, is because the Bible teaches that our God is a jealous God. Koshi Uncle very clearly stated that when he was talking about the commandments, and he said that the first four commandments is a commandment about your relationship with the Lord. It is the same commandment that he gave the people of Israel. It is the same commandment that he gives the New Testament church. You shall have no other graven image before me. You shall not worship any other God before me. Because I am a jealous God. Do we love somebody else, my dear friend? Has somebody else caught our attention, our fancy? Has somebody else come in front of our vision in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it true that when I wake up in the morning that I yearn for the attention of someone else other than the Lord Jesus Christ? The scripture says if somebody else has taken my attention, I cannot be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you thirst or hunger for the Lord? Do you desire to know more of the Lord? Has your knowledge of the Lord grown more than yesterday, last week, 1 month? Or are you just like the crowd? You follow Jesus because you just like who the person is. But Jesus says, no, you need to learn to love. And the aspect of love is the most important aspect for any born-again believer. You look at John's Gospel chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. John's Gospel chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And the next verse, by this all will know that you are my disciple, by the way you love one another. The Bible never says that the world will know that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus by your preaching, by your head knowledge, by the amount of money in your bank, by the car you drive. No, it says the world will know that you are a disciple by your attitude of love. Are you part of the crowd, or would you like to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you want to be a disciple, the scriptures clearly states, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. You know, when you look at the verse, love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength, that's a verse that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4. And you know, a Jew, an Israelite, twice a day when he wakes up, that is the verse that he quotes, that he screams at the tops of his lungs. That means when he wakes up in the morning, before he goes to sleep, he screams, hear, O Israel, we believe that the Lord our God is one. And we should love the Lord with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. Twice an Israelite, a Jew, would scream that every single day of his life. Our Muslim brothers who live in India and in other parts of this world, five times a day, they scream at the top of their voice that they believe that their God is one. We call ourselves New Testament born again believers. How many times do we say, exclaim, proclaim that we believe that our God is one and we love him the most with all our heart and all our soul? If there are religion and if there are people who are still living in darkness who can say that they believe that their God is one and they love him the most, what about you and me? Are we not people who live in the light? Are we not people who have the gospel, the word of God in our hearts? How many times do we exclaim and proclaim that we believe our God is one and that I love him the most with more than anything else in this world? The Bible says, if you cannot love God, you cannot be my disciple. You simply cannot. Do I love the Lord the most in my life today? Or has something else caught my attention, has caught my fancy? It's alright for us to finish ABC, pray and close and go back to our house. But I want to ask you, are you part of the crowd? Or are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus? In order for you to be a disciple, you need to love the Lord the most. Number 2, verses 27. Jesus continues to say in verse 27, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. You know, I've heard a lot of people take this verse and say, carry the cross of the Lord Jesus means suffer for the Lord. No, the verse carry the cross does not mean suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because suffering is spoken of later in that verse, as we will look at. Take the cross of the Lord Jesus and follow means to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Irrespective of whatever background we come from, if you see anybody having a cross on a chain on their neck, if they have a cross on their ring, if anybody carries a cross, we look and we say that person is a Christian. That's exactly what the meaning of that verse is. I'm not saying that you should take a cross and put it on a chain and put it on your neck. But when people see you, they should know that you carry the cross of the Lord Jesus. You are a born again believer. You are different from people of this world. That is the meaning of the verse, carry the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Carry the cross does not mean to suffer. Carry the cross means identify to this world that you are a born again believer. Isn't it true that many of our friends make fun of us when they get to know that we are born again? Isn't it true that many in our offices find it so difficult to believe that I am a church going, a professing Christian, because of the fact that when I'm in church, I'm in one way, and when I'm in my office, in my school, in my college, I'm in a different way. That is not how we carry the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you turn to the book of Acts chapter 11, first time in Antioch where the believers were called Christians. And you know, that is a derogatory term that those Christians got. It was a negative name that those Christians had gotten. You know, when the believers got together for the first time, the people ridiculed them, made fun of them, mocked them, put them down. They said, these people are Christ-like. They follow their Savior Christ. They are Christ-like. Because they are Christ-like, they were given the name Christians. Because they followed their Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we got the name Christianity, the name Christians. Because it was made fun of those who followed the Lord Jesus Christ. We got that name because we followed every commandment that the Lord gave us. I don't care what the world tells me. I will still follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus? Does people of this world know that you are a born again believer? Or do they see absolutely no difference in you and the people who live in accordance to this world? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We know this verse very well. In order for us to take the cross of the Lord Jesus and follow Him, in order for us to be identified with the Lord Jesus, Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I, but it is Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Turn your Bibles there. Galatians 2 verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. The life that I live now, I live by faith. I live by faith in the one who loved me and he gave his life for me. So you understand the answer that is given very simply there. Why is it that I'm not able to identify with the world and tell them that I'm a born again believer? Because I have not been crucified with Christ. I have not crucified myself completely. There is still a little bit of flesh. My old life, my old habits, sins, unconfessed guilt that I still carry with as my baggage. And that's the reason why the people of this world cannot see Jobin. They cannot see Christ, but they see this flesh that lives in me. Have you crucified yourself with Christ? Do you take the cross of the Lord Jesus and do you walk? You know, there is a story told about this grandfather and this grandson, and the grandson and the grandfather were talking about the old man and the new man. You know the story. And the old man, the grandfather, described about the old flesh and the new flesh like as if it was two wolves that were living inside. Your old flesh is like an old wolf, and your new flesh in the Lord Jesus is like the new wolf. Now what happens inside is a daily battle. It's a daily struggle because the old wolf and the new wolf are fighting with each other. The grandson asked the grandfather, if the two wolves, the old and the new, are fighting, which wolf wins? To which the grandfather looked at the grandson and he said, that wolf which you feed every single day. Which is the old wolf? Which is the wolf that wins? Is it my old flesh or my new flesh? It's the wolf that you feed every single day. Identify yourself with Christ means take up the cross and you say no to the world. It's like you becoming part of that song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Even if it is the world that is behind me, I know it is the cross that is in front of me. And I made a decision that I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is the wolf that is winning inside of you, my dear friend? Is it your old flesh, your old life, your old sin? Would you please take up the cross and identify and say, Lord, I want to follow you. And probably you never made that decision before. That's the reason why you struggle. Can you realize right now in accordance to the word of God that you need to let go of that and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Unless you take the cross and follow, you cannot be my disciple. Number three, criteria number three, verses 28. He's talking about an example there, about a man who's building a tower. A man who's building a tower. And unless a man completes the tower, at the end of that verse, look at your Bible, it says, if he cannot finish what he completed, people will mock him. People will say he began something that he could not finish. And the third criteria in order to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus is, live your life with proper planning. Live your life with proper planning. You take the example of building the tower. If anybody wants to build a tower, the first thing he makes, is it the roof? Is it the foundation? Yes. But even before he thinks of making the foundation, he needs to get the material. Even if he has the material, he needs to find workers to use the material to build. Even if he has the materials and the workers, he needs to find out if he has enough money. In order to get money, he needs to go to the bank and ask for a proper loan. Once he gets the loan, once he gets the money, he gets the workers, gets the materials, lays the foundation, builds the pillar, he builds the roof, and he's got a tower. That talks about proper planning. As born again Christians, it is important and vital that we live our lives with proper planning. And I think that this is the most valuable thing that I could talk to guys and girls your age, because when I ask you what do you want to do next, 90% of you will say, I have no clue. That's not how you live your Christian life, my dear friends. You need to live your life in proper planning. You need to be very careful as to how you live your life. There is a process. There is a planning as to how you're supposed to live your Christian life. When you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that you do? Can I ask you a simple question as young guys and girls? When you wake up in the morning, do you fold your bed sheet and keep it? That's a sign of a proper planning. What are the first few things that you do when you wake up in the morning? What are the last few things that you do before you go to sleep? Are you a casual girl or a guy? Or do you follow that policy that is the policy of this world? I am somebody who goes according to the flow. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. You look at the Lord Jesus, you look at Apostle Paul. They didn't get up every day and they didn't say, whatever comes my way, I'm just going to face it. No, they had proper planning what they were supposed to do. Jesus knew that he was supposed to be on this earth for 3.5 years. And he fulfilled all that God wanted him to do during those 3.5 years. When Paul came to the end of his life, he said, I have done it. I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I have kept the faith. All that the Lord has asked me to do, I have done it. Can I ask you, my dear friend, after we pray and close, and if the Lord Jesus were to come, would you say, yes, I have done all that the Lord has asked me to do? Who would be to blame for you spoiling your life, for not living your life in accordance to the planning that God wanted you to live your life? What is it that you want to study? When will you think about it? What decisions are you going to make in regards to your future? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus? Yes, I praise God. Have you been baptized? No. What's stopping you? Are you active in your church? What's stopping you? I'm sure it's not the elders of the church. I'm sure it's not any uncles and aunties. It's me, because I don't have any proper planning. I don't live my life in a proper way. I just go with the flow. And you read that verse, a person who does not properly plan his or her life cannot be my disciple. Christian life is not meant for us to live however we want to live. We need to have a proper planning. We need to have a proper idea of how to live our lives. Whether it be your studies or any decision that you want to make. Can you take my advice? Can I encourage you after this camp? Go back home, sit down, get on your knees and ask the Lord and say, Lord, I've done so many foolish things and I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to get up in the morning and go through the motions. I don't want to just finish the day, go back to sleep and just pray a prayer. No, every day of my life, I want to live my life for you. No matter what you want me to do, I want to do it for the glory and for the honor of the Lord. Lastly, Jesus says to be a criteria, a disciple of the Lord Jesus is verse 31. Another example he gives is about the king. And he says if a king is going to fight a battle, if a king is going to fight a war, he will see how many people he has. He's going to see if that many people he's willing to sacrifice in order to win the war. And that verse was 31, the last part. If anybody is not willing to give up for the Lord Jesus, he cannot be a disciple. And that talks about ultimate sacrifice. If you are not willing to sacrifice for the Lord Jesus, I want to tell you lovingly, please don't waste your time. Don't waste the Lord's time. It's better that you are doing something else. The Lord Jesus does not want anybody else in his ministry, in his kingdom, in his family, people who are not willing to sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, be like a king. Be a person who's willing to sacrifice in order to win the battle of your life. Are you willing to sacrifice your life, my dear friends? You know, when I stand here, when I talk to all of you, and when I look at all of you listening to me right now, one thing that comes to my mind is that most of you are 17 or 18 years old. And I was sharing this with my group yesterday for our testimony time. When I was 17 years old, I grew up in Dubai, one of the best cities that is there in the world. You get all the luxury of life. When I was 17 years old, the Lord called me for the ministry. And I dedicated my life for his ministry right from the time that I was 17 years old. I want to ask you a simple question. What are you doing with your life? You can take it as a challenge. What are you doing with your life? The last so many years, what have you done for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's an open challenge that I want to give to you. Are you wasting your life? Are you doing anything that makes the Lord happy? Because I know that I am. And let me ask you a question. What sacrifices have you made for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's been 16 years that I've been in the ministry of the Lord. I can tell you that it's not been easy. But there is nothing else that I can think of to do with my life other than being involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has taken me to so many places to teach and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage each and every one of you. Please, please, think lightly not of this life that the Lord has given to you. I don't believe that when you're 70 years old, I said this, I don't believe when you're 70 years old and 80 years old and after you're done with everything, with the few minutes, few years that you have, you commit your life in a ministry. I don't believe in a ministry like that. You're young. This is the best days of your life. Would you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you tell the Lord Jesus, I'm fed up of following the world. I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a servant. Whether it's with my job, whether it's with my work, I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you make that sacrifice to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible never says that when I stand in the presence of God, God will say, what a great preacher you are. What a great teacher you are. What head knowledge you have. No. The Bible says that when we stand in the presence of the Lord, He will say, my good and my faithful servant. And my desire, my goal in life is that when I reach heaven, I want to hear the Lord tell that about me. That He will look at me and He will say, Jobin, you were good and you were faithful. And that's all that matters to me. And now I want to ask you that question that I asked you in the beginning. My dear friend, are you part of the crowd? Or would you like to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Being part of the crowd is very simple. You just go with the people. You just do what they do. You put your offering on Sunday. You get up one Sunday and you share an exhortation. You talk to five people about Jesus and then you think, no, that's it. You're just part of the crowd. You want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? You need to love Him the most. And unless you do that, you cannot be. Take up the cross and follow. Tell the whole world that you're not ashamed to call yourself a born-again believer. You're not worried about how many fingers will be pointed at you. You're not worried about what people are going to do to you. But you will follow the Lord Jesus. You want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Live your life with proper planning. Don't just get up every day and waste every single moment that you have. Don't give me excuses that you are lazy, that you are not talented, that you are not gifted, that there are people better than you. I know that. But the Lord made you for that purpose. Live your life with a reason, a goal that you want to fulfill. You want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Be sacrificial. Give Him your time. Give Him your life. No matter what it is, I would desire in my heart that you would choose to be a disciple, that you would not choose to be simply part of the crowd that followed the Lord Jesus. Can everybody just for a minute close your eyes and bow your head? Close your eyes and bow your head. The only reason I'm asking you to close your eyes is so that you will not sleep. But it's for you to think about your own life right now. Because I do not know what you're going through. Nobody sitting here knows what you're going through. You are the only one who can give the answer for your questions in your life. And as you close your eyes and as you sit there, and I want you to take a minute and think about your life. Can I ask you? Why do you follow the Lord Jesus? Probably you realize right now that you have fooled yourself into thinking that you are part of the crowd. I want to make you make that decision into becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, please, please do not be part of the crowd. Jesus wants disciples. People are willing to follow Him. If there is anybody sitting here who's realized that you are part of the crowd, but that you would like to be a disciple, you can become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. If there's anybody sitting here who's realized that you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, that's okay. That's okay. I would like to help you. We would like to pray for you. Wherever you're sitting right now, all you need to do is say, Lord Jesus, I fooled myself into thinking that I am your child, but I am not. I'm sorry, Lord. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. Would you please forgive me? Would you make me your child? The word of God very clearly states to those who call on the Lord, to them He has given them the privilege to be called His children. And if you would like to be a child of God, I would like to extend that invitation to you. If you've already become a child of God, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but you felt that you've been following Jesus for the same reasons why the crowd was following, you can also pray in your heart. You can say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I've become part of the crowd and I want to be a disciple. Lord, a lot of other people have caught my attention. I love a lot of other things. I want to lay all of this at the feet of the cross and I want to say that I'm sorry. I want to love you the most with all my heart, with all my strength. Lord, I want to take up the cross and follow you. I'm tired of following the world. I want to follow the cross. I want to identify to this world that I'm a born-again believer. Lord, I'm tired of wasting my life, living my life however I want to live. I want to live my life with proper planning. And Lord, I want to make the decision to sacrifice. Even if it means to lay down my life for the truth of the gospel. I want to lay down my life for you. Is there anybody sitting here who would like to resurrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ? We are going to pray and we are going to close. But I want to give you a few minutes to think about your decision. Think about your life. Think about what is it that you are going to do with your life. And if there's anything that you would like to pray, I would like to encourage you to pray in your heart. Please don't open your eyes. Please don't lift your head up. Just put your head down. Close your eyes. And to help you pray, I just want to sing a song. It's a song that we all know. But I believe it's a song that we should sing every single day of our life. That one day, we are going to go from here and we are going to go into our Father's house. And until that day comes, let us remember that we are strangers in this earth. We are not supposed to be comfortable with this world. And let's make that decision, keeping in mind that the coming of the Lord is at hand. If you know, you can sing this song along with me.
Hum Yeshu ke sange ek din swarg jayenge. Hum Yeshu ke sange ek din swarg jayenge. Pita ko dekhenge. धन्य हो जाएंगे पिता को देखेंगे धन्य हो जाएंगे स्वर्ग जाएंगे
हालेलुया
हालेलुया
coming and before he comes. I don't want anybody to be caught unaware. I don't want anybody to say that it was too late for me to make a decision. I'm going to pray and close. Can you close your eyes and bow your head? Before I pray, if there's anything that you would like to tell the Lord, if anything is there that you would like to place in the presence of the Lord, would you do that right now? Father, I want to thank you that your blessings was with us during the last so many days that we've studied your word. Your word is true, your word is alive, your word is so powerful. There is no one like you, and we thank and praise you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that one day we will see you face to face. We will be with you. We will rejoice of having been in your presence. What a day that will be. And Lord, I want to pray for my dear friends right now. I pray for the working of the Spirit in their life. If there is any of my friends here who have not yet accepted you, Lord, I pray that they would understand what it means to be a disciple, that you would allow them to make the decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that they would not be part of the crowd, but they would be willing to follow the Lord Jesus. I pray for those of us who have made that decision to follow you, but recently, Lord, we've gone off track. Our vision has been blurred, and Lord, our decisions have been poor. Would you please forgive us, Lord? Would you enable us to re-surrender, recommit our life? Hallelujah, we thank you that there is forgiveness at the foot of the cross. I pray that you will bless us. Thank you, Lord, for uncles and aunties who have taken that pain and effort to arrange this for us. We pray that as we go back home, we would not go back the same way that we came. That you would tremendously change our lives because of the gospel. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. Lord, if you are to return today, what a joy it would be for us to be reunited with you. But if you tarry for one more day, enable us to understand and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Take all the glory and the praise, for it is in your precious name we ask and we pray.